Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Back in November, a friend of mine had contacted me and she says, you should reach out to this guy that's just recently moved to the Comox Valley as well from Calgary. She says, I think that the two of you would really get along quite well. So I took the steps and I reached out to this guy, Ernie, and very quickly, we were able to engage in a conversation and we became very fast friends. There was no issues between the two of us in regards to the way that we communicated. Have you ever had one of those conversations where you literally feel like you're pulling teeth to try and get the conversation going? It's like, you cast out a question, yes. You cast out another question, no. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is a lot of work. Have you ever had one of those kind of conversations? Well, fortunately for Ernie and I, it was not like that. There was no trouble in us being able to dialogue with one another. He was a very knowledgeable guy, and it was a case of, as long as I could continue to keep asking questions, he would continue to have great answers. Now, sometimes I do consider myself, when I'm getting to know people, that I like to ask questions, and sometimes I have to be careful that they don't feel like they're being interrogated, but it's literally me trying to take an interest in these people. And so eventually we decided, well, we should get our families together and have dinner together. And when they came into our house, there was no problems. We had great dialogue all through the evening. And it was through this conversation that we were having that he put out the question. He says, so Chad, what do you like to do? And so in essence, what he was saying, so what is, when Chad's by himself or when Chad wants to do what he wants, what does Chad want to do? And I thought about this. And so he just started putting out some questions to me. He says, do you like fishing? Yeah, sure, I enjoy fishing. Well, do you like woodworking? Well, I like the finished product, so sure, I like woodworking. Do you like cycling? Do you like bicycling? Yeah, sure, I enjoy going for a bike ride. And as he continued to ask these questions, what I realized is that anything that he put forth, I enjoyed doing simply because it meant that I got to hang out with him. So it was more a case of enjoying his company and enjoying hanging out with him that, yeah, I'll do basically whatever it is that you want to do. Now, that's not a case of being a people pleaser. It's just that I really enjoy his company. So that's what I like to do. And as you know, a few weeks ago, I went out fishing for my first time ever salmon fishing. And afterwards, you know, my wife even said to me, so did you enjoy that? It's like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. But as I've thought about that more, it's not that I didn't enjoy the fishing component of it. What I really enjoyed was the opportunity to hang out with these guys on the boat and just really get to know them. And that's what I really enjoyed. And last week, you would have heard me say that sometimes we have to do our way into feeling. Sometimes you don't always feel like it. So I may not always necessarily feel like going fishing, but I do it because of the opportunity. Now, it may be that one of these days you'll see me down on the banks of the ocean casting my rod once I get one and fishing my own self. Maybe I'm going to eventually do my way into feeling. When I was in Newfoundland, my dad sent me home with hip waders that come up to here so I can walk this high without getting wet. So I'm slowly starting to take those steps to get figured out for this whole fishing thing. So it's a matter of getting to know and figuring out what it is that you like to do. Our leadership team, over this past couple of weeks, we've been walking through taking a Berkman assessment. Anybody here familiar with the Berkman? A few people? It kind of helps you to identify your color. It helps you to understand the type of person that you are. And so each of us, the leadership and the staff, have completed this Berkman, and then Phil from our district office came over, and he had one-on-ones with each and every one of us. And so what it helped us to do is understanding how to communicate with one another, how the person likes to be communicated to, and how you want to be communicated to. So it helps you grow together as a team and know how to effectively work together. So this Sunday, today, we're starting, and you probably saw the sign out front, we're starting our new summer series, and it's called Jeopardy with Jesus. All right? And so I've had the input of our team helping me out with this. And so you'll see that, in my Berkman, what it helped me see is that Chad is 99% administrative, okay? So with the help of Pastor Trevor and one of our summer students, Evan, they came up with some really creative titles, as you can see those along the top. And I'm sure, like you, you're all curious to know what question is under circumstances versus circumcisions, right? I'm kind of curious to know how that category is going to be worked into this series as well. But we're starting a series called Jeopardy with Jesus. Now, what happened is, so we came up with this title again because of the creative work of Sandy in our office as we were sitting around the table talking and trying to figure this out. Sandy is on her Berkman. She came in at 91% artistic. So she's a very creative individual. And she came up with this title for us of Jeopardy with Jesus. So what it is that it's questions that Jesus asked the people. So not questions that he was asked, but questions that he put forth to his disciples, to the Pharisees, to the crowds of people that were following him. I had a team of individuals who helped me earlier this year. I think we were working on this back in January and February, of putting all of the questions together that we were able to record from the Gospels to come up with what we're calling like our top 10 list. So over the course of the next 10 weeks, we're going to be looking at different questions that Jesus asked. So this morning, we're looking under, and I forgot to get this. Kyla, can you run into my office, my closet? There's a chocolate bar. Can you go grab that? I know how many are there. So this morning, under the category of chilling with my BFF, all right? So here is the answer. Health. It's coming up on the screen, right, Jonah? Health, coffee, endless finances, world peace. Oh, I will take it all. So, as you think about this, what is the question? Coming into the next slide. What is the question? Think about it. This is for a chocolate bar. Oh, she picked her favorite chocolate bar. She knows the answer, so she can't answer. Does anybody want to take a stab at what the question is? You got to listen to the song first. I mean, Evan went through. Dawn? No. Barry? No. Calvin?
What do you want?
I hope you did not cheat. No? Claire, did he cheat? Okay, I will give it to you. I'm going to believe you that you did not cheat. But that is the exact question. What do you want? And the only reason why I asked is because Claire got the question in her email. But I don't think you read Claire's emails. She just reads yours. Sometimes. But the question is, what do you want? Now, when that question is put forth, it can come with a variety of different answers, correct? Because it often depends on who is asking the question. So, for example, I walked into Pastor Trevor's office this past week, and I just stood there, and once I got his attention, he looked up and I said, "What do you want?" And he kind of looked at me, and he had this stunned look on his face, and he was trying to figure it out, because usually when I walk into his office, he knows that there's one answer. And so he looked up and he said, "Coffee?" And I said, "No, not this time." And I said, "What do you want?" And he put it out there. He says, "Well, I guess it depends on who's asking and what's the context of the question." He was trying to figure out what answer is it that I was looking for. So for this question, it depends who's asking the question. What context? So this morning, we're going to be looking at this very question. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 35. Father, this morning, as we go into your word, as always, I pray that you would open up our spiritual eyes, Open up our spiritual ears to hear what it is that you want to say to us this morning. And as you put that question forth to these two disciples, you're putting that question forth to us. And the question is, what do you want? What do you want? I pray that our hearts would be prepared to hear from you this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1, this morning I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it starts at verse 35 by saying, "The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples." So this is the day after Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan River. "As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. 'What do you want?' he asked them. They replied, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come and see,' he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him for the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to his brother Simon and told him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which means Christ. So here in this passage, we're already starting to see the multiplication effect taking work of the disciples. So you have John who was preaching this, sharing this, and then Andrew who heard it. And now Andrew is going and getting his brother Simon Peter. Continuing on, it says, "Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, 'Your name is Simon, son of John. But you will be called Cephas,' which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Come, follow me.' Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown." So up to this point, they had been hearing and believing that the Messiah was coming. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." So obviously they had heard about this. They had heard the teachings that Moses had spoken about this. They heard about the dream that Joseph had, which said, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all of this was being fulfilled. It was written over 600 years prior. We even read in Isaiah 7:14, which was written 600 years prior to this, and it says that we read that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So this is confirmation right here of the deity of Christ. God with us. Jesus is God. Now, listen as we continue on, because you're about to get introduced to the token cynic in the group, because you know there's often that cynic in every crowd. "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. And as they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." I love how the token cynic in the group is suddenly highlighted by Jesus. He says, "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree?" So in this question, it's kind of like asking, are you only going to believe if you actually see it with your own eyes? Jesus went on, he says, "You will see greater things than this." Then he says, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." Now, as we attempt to understand this question this morning, there are some things that we need to consider and some things that we need to look at first. it's important to understand who is asking this question. What do you want? What do you want? We need to recognize where this question is coming from. And what we'll see is that in the first gospel of John, or in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John wants us to understand who Jesus is. He wants us to have an encounter, to have an experience with Jesus. And as a result, when these two disciples heard, they immediately went to follow Jesus. Now think about this. If you were walking down the street and all of a sudden two people start following you, how creepy would that be in today's society, right? We'd be looking for a way to get away. It's like, I don't know who they are. But Jesus turned around and he said, what do you want? If it was me walking down the street and somebody says, oh, look, there's Chad. Somebody might be like, yeah, so? Somebody might be like, cool, don't know who he is, but sure. But when John highlighted, that's Jesus, that's the Son of God, immediately these two men who were disciples of John left to go and follow Jesus. To be a disciple requires two things. A disciple must know who it is that they're following. The second thing is that a disciple must have a personal experience that completely changes who they are. These two men here, look, there's the Son of God, the Lamb of God. They immediately go. They want to go and have an experience with him. They had heard about this Messiah that was coming for so many years, and now here he is with them, and they want to go and they want to be with him. What I love about this first chapter of John is that from verses 19 to 51, we hear so many descriptive words that they talk about, all referring to Jesus. We hear Messiah, the prophet, Jesus, Lamb of God, one who baptizes with the Spirit, chosen Son of God, Rabbi, teacher, son of Joseph, Christ, the anointed one, Nazarene, Son of God, King of Israel, Son of Man. All of these descriptions of the same person are in this first chapter. And nowhere else in the Bible will you see such a comprehensive list describing who Jesus is. So as we're unpacking this question this morning, keep in the back of your mind, what do you want? What did these people, or primarily, what did these two disciples want? They wanted to be with Jesus. That's the first thing. They wanted to be with him. It was evident that they had heard so many things about him. Can you imagine walking down the street? Here he is. Jesus is walking down the street, and they come up, and Jesus turns around, and he says, what do you want? What is it that you want? Jesus has shown up in their town. They want to be with him. He's been pointed out, and they actively go and pursue him. Is there anybody that you in your lifetime have actively pursued? You've heard about them. You've been told about them. And you think, you know what? I need to have a relationship with that person. I want to have a friendship with that person. I remember for myself, I was at a district conference in Alberta, and I was at a luncheon, and there was a guy that was sitting across the table from me. I hadn't met him before, and people were asking him questions. You know, we're all kind of getting to know each other, and I was kind of listening to other conversations, but particularly paying attention to this one. And with every response that Derek shared, I thought, man, I want to get to know this person. I love his heart to serve. I love how he pastors the people. I love everything about him, but I didn't really know. And after we got back to Airdrie, I sent a message off to him, and I reminded him of where we met. And, I mean, I could have waited for Derek possibly to reach out to me, but I knew what I wanted, and I knew the type of people that I wanted to be connected with. And I thought, I need to have time, and I need to become friends with Derek. And so we grabbed lunch. We got to know each other. And this man eventually became a very good friend of mine. He became a confidant. He was a pastor that walked with me through very difficult times in ministry. And I believe that God placed him across that table from me for such a time as now. And we continue to speak into each other's lives. Even to this day, if I'm having a rough day or a rough week or something is going on, I'm able to pick up the phone. I'm able to shoot a text. And Derek is always right there. Who is it that God has put into your path that maybe he's highlighted and he says, that's somebody that I've brought into your life that is going to speak into your life? When John the Baptist highlighted to these two men the Messiah, they immediately left what they were doing and went to follow him. They had heard about the Messiah. It's so important to know that the process of discipleship is about being committed to what you hear. It's not simply just about the content of the message, but it's about converting to what the message says as well. There are many people who are able to read the Bible from cover all the way to the other cover and have not had that transforming work in their lives. You probably have people who will call you and say, hey, I know that you're a praying person. Can you pray for me in this need? And sometimes we want to say, well, you know, God listens to you as well. God wants to talk with you. Yeah. You know, I don't have time for all of that, but I know that you're a praying person. Can you just pray? Do you ever get those questions? They want you to do it on their behalf? But conversion is you. Conversion is you yourself accepting and inviting Jesus into your life. And as Romans 12, verse 2 says, let God transform your mind, transform you to understand the way that he wants you to think. When we have contact with Jesus, life is about him. Life is all for him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? Have you had that transforming work of Holy Spirit in your life? These men knew and believed everything that they had heard. He was the King of Israel. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Joseph. He was the Messiah. A person will not know the truth of Jesus until they have their own personal experience. We are not able to live vicariously through another person's conversion, right? Another person can't, well, this person believes in God and I'm going to trust in them and I'm going to believe, you know, I see what happens with them. But it's about us ourselves. We need to have that conversion experience. These disciples were converts. Converts make new converts. Just as we have read, Andrew had heard about Jesus through what John was teaching him. Andrew then goes and he finds his brother Simon Peter and says, come, I found the Messiah. They were not keeping this to themselves. They were telling others about what they had witnessed. Are we able to speak about the one that we believe in? We cannot depend on other people. God has commissioned every one of us to go. A person who is outside of a relationship with Jesus is not going to tell people about Jesus, right? If you don't have a relationship with him, if you haven't had that transforming work in your life, you're not going to tell other people about something that you yourself don't even believe in. Those who know him want to be with him. They want to talk with him. These men knew what they wanted. They knew what they wanted and they knew what they needed. And Jesus extended the invitation to come and see. And as he invited them to come and see, the second thing is he wanted them to understand their own identity. He wanted them to know who it is that they have been created to be. What these men did not realize in that moment, that for the next few years that they would be following Jesus, a disciple of Christ, their lives were about to be completely transformed. They were about to learn the plans that God had for their lives. Jesus didn't just simply say, come. He said, come and see. Come and experience. He didn't say, just come with me and I'll leave you to figure it all out. He showed them exactly the way that they were supposed to live. As we disciple people, do we just simply say, well, you just got to come here to the altar. You got to have a good old snot and ball session, accept Jesus into your life, and that's it? It's not just that. That's the conversion. And then they need somebody who's going to walk with them, helping them to understand what's going on in their lives. We do life together. Jesus was inviting them in to do life together. When you know who you serve, you understand your identity. When you look at the person that God has created you to be, you look through the filter of what God sees. Do we look at our lives through the filter of the world, or do we look through the filter of God? Do we understand how much God loves us?
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
This morning, sing along with Kyla.
How he loves us.
Your heart to be reminded of that this morning. He loves us so much. I love that line that says, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about. You know what? We all have baggage. We all have things that we've carried around. God is not up there looking at all of those things. He's looking down and he's saying, that's my son. That's my daughter. I love them. Do you believe that he loves you? Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
That's the first step in understanding our identity in Christ. When we pray, when we ask God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, to do a work in our lives, do we believe that he's going to do that work? I believe that that's a fair question. You know, we talk about the fact that he's the forgiver, he's the redeemer, he's the restorer, he's our healer, he's the great physician. When you pray and you call upon the name of Jesus, you are calling upon that person who's all of those things. 2 Corinthians 5:7 in the Amplified says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Living our lives in a manner that's consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Are we acting like Andrew, who as soon as he heard that's the Messiah, he was up and he was gone and he started following Jesus? Or are we a little bit more like Nathaniel? I just need a little bit more proof. I need a little bit more proof. God doesn't love us just when we do the things that he wants us to do. God loves us, period. Period. It's not if or when. God loves us, period. Are you able to receive what God wants for you? Which takes us to the next item, and that is, what does God want? He wants us to do those greater things. Are we prepared for this greater thing? In verse 47, Jesus is explaining to Nathanael the kind of man that he is. He looks and he says, Nathanael, you are a man of integrity. Can you imagine if you were walking down the street and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, Russ, you're a man of integrity? That's quite the compliment. Now take that a step further. Jesus coming and saying, my son, my daughter, you are a person of integrity. Wow. Having Jesus highlight that. What an amazing compliment. There's one thing that I want Jesus to say to me, and that is, well done. Well done. Everything that we do here on earth is preparation for hearing that statement. Well done. Nathanael hears Jesus say this to him, and he's caught a little off guard. And he says, how do you know me? Jesus proceeds to tell him, before you even found me, I knew who you were. Once he heard this, he was convinced, this is the rabbi. This is the Son of God. These men had heard about the Messiah. Even still, when he was walking by, when Jesus was walking by, they still had a choice to make. Are they going to follow him, or are they going to go in the different direction? Do I let him keep walking, or do I get up and follow him? And the same question is for us this morning. If you are outside of a relationship with Jesus, he is here in this place, and he is calling you, and you have a response. He leaves the choice up to you. Do you want to follow him, or do you simply want to say, I'll get you on the next time, Jesus? It's so easy to be that person who's on the sidelines. But Jesus wants us to have an experience with him. There comes a time where Jesus says, I want you to get in there. It's not, you know, sometimes you have those people, it's like, yeah, good work. What are you cheering for? I haven't a clue. Not a clue, but I'm just going to keep spurring them on. But I believe that there comes a time where Jesus says, I want you to get in and experience it yourself. Encouragement and exhortation comes from experience. When you're able to talk about the goodness of God, it has that much more validity. Do you want to be a person that's on the sidelines, cheering everybody else on, or do you want to be a part of the party? I want to be a part of the celebration. How about you? Where do you stand this morning? Are you that person that's on the sidelines just cheering everybody else on, but you haven't got a clue what you're cheering about? These men wanted to be with Jesus. When Jesus is saying that you will do greater things, that doesn't mean that you're going to do greater things than him in the sense of doing things better. My understanding of this scripture is in a numerical sense. We will see even more things than this. So you think about it. Jesus was in the region of Galilee and Nazareth. And you see and we read about the great things that happened. Today, the gospel has been spread and continues to be spread all over the world. Millions of people have come to know Christ. They didn't simply just stay on the sidelines cheering. They got out there. They started doing the work that we have been called to. Now, through multiplication and people experiencing, converts making new converts, people sharing the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, people all around the world have heard. We've seen people who have gone out to bring financial aid, education, food, sharing, being the hands and feet of Jesus to this world. So these greater things that these disciples were a part of, they witnessed it, then they experienced it. And Jesus also knew, I have to go. I have to go back to heaven. And when I do, what that means is that now you, the church, you are being released. You are to go into the world. You are to share the good news of the gospel. Go and make disciples. Are we a part of these greater things? Do we want to be a part of the greater things? An illustration that kind of came to me as I was putting this together is picture a squirrel. A squirrel will go and collect nuts to bring back to its little den to ensure that it has food to stay alive. A nut is the result of growth that has taken place. A nut grows on trees. A nut is a fruit that's composed of an inedible hard shell and a seed, which is generally edible. So in general usage, a wide variety of dried seeds are called nuts. But in a botanical context, a nut implies that the shell does not open to release the seed. A farmer will take the seeds and go and plant them in the ground so that they can produce a crop that will multiply, creating even more seeds, which will produce even more fruit. Are you a squirrel that has a collection of nuts? Do you have a group of people who remain enclosed inside your shell? Basically, you're a gathering of those who are the result of other people's efforts. I have all of these people here in my little group. You know, somebody else is witness to them, but I seem to have got them. Or are we farmers who have taken what was inside of that shell, broke it open so that we could go out and continue to plant seeds, continuing to see and believe for new growth? So, CPC, what are we? Are we a church full of nuts? Saying, you know what? I'm good inside my shell. I'm good here. I will remain stored up here in the church. Or are we seeds knowing that we must get out there? We have to allow that exterior to be broken so that the seed can be planted so that we can continue to see multiplication. Ask yourself, are you a nut or are you a seed? Nuts are going to have a different context for you now, aren't they? Do we want to be a church of nuts? I'm not convinced. Are you going to allow that shell to be broken? But my Berkman showed me that I'm an introvert. But the Bible says that I'm supposed to go. Whose identity do I want to follow? Do I want to believe the identity of Christ that calls me to go forth? Or do I want to believe the identity of the Berkman that says, oh, you're an introvert? What has God called you to do? What do you want? My hope is that we are a people who want more of God. My hope is that we will be a people of converts who make converts, who bring people to Christ. My hope is that you will allow yourself to be broken so that seed that's inside of you can go forth to be planted and to continue to see multiplication. Here's the closing thought. Are we believing for those greater things that Jesus spoke about? Are you believing for those greater things? Yes. Father, you heard the answer in their hearts. You have called every single one of us to be seeds. And we are to go out and we are to plant ourselves. You've placed us in various occupations. Oh, but Jesus, I'm the only Christian that's there. Well, if you weren't there, there'd be no seed. Well, I'm the only Christian that's in my family. Well, if you weren't there, there'd be no seed. God, I believe that you're calling every one of us to step outside of that shell that we tend to hide ourselves behind, to be planted, and to believe for growth. Just like the rain that is falling outside today, your word calls us to go and to plant seeds. Someone else will come and they will water the seed, but it is only you that can cause that growth. So, Father, you've called each and every one of us to go, to plant, and to water. You will cause that growth. We thank you this morning for the growth that is coming. We're believing for that growth that is coming. We're believing for those greater things that you are going to do. We thank you for this. And we are going to continue to look forward with great anticipation, great expectation for what you are going to do in the hearts and lives of every single person here. And we're believing for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Thank you, Lord, that you love us. You care for us. And Lord, you care for those that we work with. You care for those who we rub shoulders with. We pray, Lord, that we would love people like the way that you do, Lord. Lord, that you'd give us courage and you give us boldness in our faith. Lord, that we won't be afraid, that we won't be ashamed of who we are in you, God. Lord, help us to reach our neighbors that don't know Jesus. Let's do something a little bit different. I want you to just to speak, just to say a neighbor that you can reach out to, a friend, a colleague. Just say that name. Lord, we pray for those individuals that were spoken out. We pray, Lord, that you would soften their heart for the opportunity when we get the opportunity to share about you, God. Lord, we thank you for the message that you have placed in Pastor Chad's heart. Lord, it is such a good message. Lord, that we won't just listen to it, that we won't just think about it. Lord, that we would apply the things that were mentioned. We want to be doers, Lord. So, Lord, as we leave this church building, Lord, that is the mission field. Lord, help us to know you better, Lord. Lord, guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.